You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, I had a brief chat with the lovely Perrin Hastings and Sandy Tsai, who will be releasing their mini docu-series, The Gender Agenda, later this evening. They were great to speak to and definitely solidified my excitement even of this upcoming series. So, without further ado, here is our chat about The Gender Agenda. The Gender Agenda, a short docu-series that also incorporates elements of animation, is set to be released today, with new episodes released every 2 days in light of Aotearoa's Transgender Week, which will begin next week. I would love to know how this project came to be and the sort of process you guys had developing the series.
Okay, so what happened was, last year around June, Perrin messaged me around 10 in the morning saying that they couldn't sleep at night, and they stayed up till 3 in the morning having a big brain dump. And that's when it all started. It all started from there. And from then on, we started brainstorming and getting our producers on board, and it went from there.
I swear you always have like the best thoughts at like the most random times. Like you're just like up late and it's like, oh, we should do this.
It's always when you need the sleep as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Like there's something on the next day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't afford to stay up, but the thought is not leaving my brain.
Yep.
So let me just like pull open the notes app
yep.
and just zoom as fast as possible.
Yep. It's like an itch that needs to be scratched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think I because we Discord each other all the time. It's where we do most of our work because we're ultimately professional. And
look, Discord gets...
I remember just... Oh, what was that?
Discord gets the job done. Discord's awesome.
Oh, it does.
Exactly.
It's amazing for us. We just always get some funny looks from people who aren't used to it. But I remember just sending like paragraphs and paragraphs, just this whole essay. And thank you, Sandy, for being very patient and reading all of that when I send that through.
Oh, no, please stay up more. That's like where all our creativity comes from, right?
Yes,
3 in the morning.
Yeah. I remember... what caused that brain dump is I was at dinner. I was at a place called K-Soup on Queen Street. And I remember just sitting there struggling with my own gender identity and really just wishing that I could talk to all these cool people who are on social media and seem to know what they're doing. Like they seem to know who they are. And late that night, I was just like, what if I could? What if we could actually make this something where, yeah, I could go around and talk with these people, but we could actually share that as well and use it as a chance to platform some wonderful stories. And thankfully, that's what it developed into.
And who are some of these cool people that you briefly just mentioned that you got to chat to with the Gender Agenda?
Oh, so many. A few off the top of my head, Hugo Girl, amazing, fabulous drag king. Quack Parihi, who's a super amazing like protester and community organizer. Two Chapman, who is just badass. Yeah, so many people. Miss Gina, another drag queen, works at Kaluzi as well. So we got some like we were able to capture some amazing spots like around K Road and Wellington. We got some Cuba Street stuff. So yeah, it's just an amazing little pocket of queerness that thankfully we got to explore.
And I was just going to mention, but you answered my question. Was this documentary mostly based in Auckland? In the first couple of episodes that I've seen so far, it's mostly based on K Road, which is sort of like a queer hub here in Auckland, but you just mentioned Wellington, the queer capital, let's say.
Yeah.
So is there anyone else or just those two places or?
It's mostly based in these two places.
Mm.
Some of our guests are from elsewhere. For example, Jelly O'Shea is based out of Christchurch Way. But, you know, first season, budgets are limited, so we can only travel so far.
Fair enough.
But thankfully, some of the guests were very, very kind and would either travel through to Wellington or to Auckland to meet up with us. So,
yeah. And switching back a little bit, so what is your guys' aims with creating the Gender Agenda? What do you guys hope to get out of this?
We hope to create a safe space. For us, we think there's a lot of hatred in the world at the moment, So we wanted to create a safe space for Rangatahi to safely explore their identity. And it's something we wished we had when we were growing up. So I grew up in the 90s, and every time I come home from school, turn on the TV, and I'll watch Dragon Ball Z till 5 p.m. And that's all the representation and stuff that I could see on TV for me.
Mm.
So it was something we wanted as a child.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to that. Like, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, but same here. Like, I think the only queer representation I got growing up was, like, Ellen DeGeneres. And,
Yeah,
so there is definitely a space for this type of content, and it's really exciting that it exists. So, and you mentioned Rangatahi. Would you say that's the target demographic of this docuseries?
Yes, so around the ages 13 to 34.
Mm. And why?
Yeah.
Apologies. Why specifically did you guys decide on Rangatahi being the target demographic?
I think we wanted to make this for everyone, but mostly for Rangatahi, because that's, I feel like that's the age where they'll be looking into their gender identity and start questioning a lot of stuff. So for them to have more safe spaces to explore, I think would be a very good thing.
And what would you say for maybe like parents of genderqueer Rangatahi, or maybe even older generations in general, who may be watching or interested in the gender agenda and might not necessarily know? They might think that like being non-binary is like a new thing, it's quite unfamiliar to them. Would you also recommend these types of people watch and engage with the gender agenda as well?
Oh yes, we encourage families to watch the series together. I feel like it's something that they could go back into and then understand the journeys that other people have went through. So we've interviewed elders from the past that have gone through similar journeys, and also people going through journeys right now. So I think it's something they could look into and see how they could provide the best support.
We know a lot of parents and caregivers are already reaching out to some of the resources around, like Intersex Aotearoa and Rainbow Youth.
Mm.
But, you know, you can't always go directly to these hubs, and being able to have something that, you know, you can just pull up on your phone, you can stream to the TV or something like that, you know. Just having that resource there to be able to just get started before going into the sometimes intimidating, like, location.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
Can hopefully be a really good thing for them.
Yeah, definitely. I want to touch on a specific stylistic approach that you two took with the gender agenda, and that is through the use of animation, which I would say is quite a unique approach to making anything documentary-related. Why did you two decide to incorporate elements of animation into the series?
Simple answer. We're animators by trade. So, yeah, no, if we can make work for ourselves, we will. But seriously, though, it just fit.
Mm.
And I think sometimes where sort of more traditional documentaries can fail is not being able to capture the emotion of the moment, or that the feeling as well as animation often can through the use of metaphors and amazing imagery. And yeah, we just wanted to try to capture that as best as possible and the only way we know how.
Yeah. And I feel like animation is usually like more of like a drama and fiction type orientated thing. Is this your guys' first approach to documentary, or more so non-fiction style of filmmaking?
So, it's our first documentary. We've worked on other shows for other people, like The Pooh Files, for example, is one for, it's non-fiction, but it's for a much younger audience, so it's slightly different, but yeah.
Why approach discussing the construction of gender through this documentary approach rather than through a more fictional type of route?
I think it was just about bringing down barriers to the information. So for example, I when I was struggling to figure all this out for myself, and even before I, you know, found the label of non-binary, I was just searching up questions. You know, it's that very typical, like, searching, am I gay? in the Google search.
Oh, I've been there. I have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been there.
I feel like it's like a passing of the torch. Every generation has their very matter-of-fact Google search moment.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, have you guys seen Heartstopper as well?
Yes.
That scene is so funny. Really? Oh, there's a scene where, like, one of the characters who's bisexual does the same thing, and he searches up, am I gay? And, look, it is funny looking back at that now as someone who's like, oh, yeah, I definitely am gay. But back in the day, like, it was scary. Like, it really was. And you're kind of looking for an avenue of support that you might not necessarily feel comfortable with through, like, other means, like talking to a parent or something like that. So, yeah. Sorry, a bit of ramble there. But
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I only remember only one person in my year that came out as bi.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah,
it's a different world.
I only knew one person.
Mm.
They were known as the gay person of the school. And I was just sitting there very, very closeted, being like, okay, let's see how this pans out.
Mm.
Smash cut to like 7 years later. I'm 22 and that's when I come out. So
No, fair enough. High school is like a scary time. I definitely was a bit more fortunate in the grad that like my high school did have a lot of queer people, but it still felt quite isolating at times, especially speaking to my lovely, lovely straight friends about certain things that they just will never understand, bless their souls. Mm. But switching back to the gender agenda again, how many episodes will this docuseries have when it releases today?
We will have 5 episodes, and it will launch at 7 p.m. tonight, and will 7 p.m. Yep.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
It'll stagger, and the next episode will come out 2 days after.
Perfect. And
so episode 1 on the 7th, episode 2 on the 9th, etc., etc.
Perfect, perfect. And do you two have a specific episode that resonates with you the most?
I have to think about that. I like all the episodes. Every episode spoke out to me.
Mm.
It was a lot of reflection for me, every episode. And I think I particularly like episode 5, where they talk about community, finding your own tribe, finding your own chosen family if you can't get it from your own family. Not saying that mine is, my family didn't support me. They supported me. And it's important to surround yourself with people who understand you and fully accept you.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, all the other episodes are great too.
Of course. I mean, they are. I mean, I've seen, the first 2 episodes, fortunately, got to see the first one at the launch party yesterday, which is very exciting. But I think for me specifically, the second episode so far is one that resonates with me quite heavily, and that's about the concept of, like, passing, specifically in my case as a non-binary person, because I definitely sometimes do feel like I'm not non-binary enough, but then I'm like, what is being non-binary, you know?
Yeah, that's very relatable.
Yeah.
I feel like before we started the show, a lot of my kind of like topic questions when we were working out the episodes was just like, am I non-binary enough? Am I trans enough? Like, what labels can I actually feel justified calling myself? But you know, as we say in 2, it's not about fitting a certain role or a certain expression or a certain piece of performance that you've been assigned. It's about expressing yourself in the way that's most comfortable for you, and then the labels will just come to you. You don't assign to them, they assign to you.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, actually.
Oh, thank you. for me, I think two stands out for me just because I feel like that's when a lot of things started clicking in my head. But if I were to choose another one, it would be episode 4, which is our healthcare episode. And that for me was such an, I think, eye-opening episode, especially the interview with Roxanne Henare, who is a healthcare professional and also somebody who transitioned back in the 80s.
Hmm.
And being able to hear that elder perspective on accessing healthcare and the ways that it was weirdly easier, but actually super, super dangerous in its ease was really eye-opening. And I think it speaks to the power of just hearing your elders out.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And getting that historic perspective on queer history as well, because there are so many stories, so many that I hope we can share in the future as well, that nobody knows about. And even I and us, through all of this research, you know, barely scratched on.
Yeah.
So
this docuseries comes out tonight at 7 p.m. did you say, Sandy?
Yes, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
on YouTube.
On YouTube, perfect. That was actually going to be my question. How can people watch this amazing docuseries on YouTube? There you go. Is there a specific thing people should search up besides, I mean, I guess the gender agenda, right?
Yeah. So we're doing a YouTube premiere at 7 p.m. so people can come in, join the live chat, and then, leave heaps of comments afterwards if you like. And then it will also be going up in vertical or square arrangements on Instagram and TikTok after that. So you'll have plenty of options. Just look for the gender agenda. It's normally at the_gender_agenda on all platforms. And we look forward to seeing everybody.
Perfect. And my final question, are there future plans for maybe a season 2, or is this a little bit too early to tell?
We would love to tell more stories. We'll just have to see if we can do that.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's been amazing.
Awesome. And that was Perrin Hastings and Sandy Tsai from The Gender Agenda, a short docuseries which talks about gender identity in the light of Transgender Week coming up next week. And that is available on YouTube and pretty much any social media platform from 7 p.m. tonight.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.